Hello. This is an episode on. I screwed this up.
Hello. No, no, no. It stays. We're keeping
This is an
What do we?
episode about. This is an episode. This is a preview episode for free. Trying to tantalize you into joining one of our paid options, either Patreon or Substack. Both of them are at Art of Dark Pod to listen to the full in-depth episode on the Marquis de Sade, author of 120 Days of Sodom, Juliet,
It's a lot
Justine.
of days of Sodom.
It's too many,
I think
frankly.
one, yeah, three. After 3 days of Sodom, it starts to imagine the smell.
You want to you take a break. I mean, for crying out loud.
Sure.
This episode, we'll be talking about the French Revolution. We'll be talking about Somme d'Mai, which is a classic Art of Darkness subject. We'll be talking about prison. This is one of our maybe the subject of ours who did the most time behind bars. We're going to be talking about I can't pronounce it in the proper French, but the ancient regime that once ruled France and was overthrown in the late 18th century. We haven't recorded yet. We're recording this first, but I'm going to tell you right now, it's a banger and you're going to want to hear the entire thing. So.
Patreon.com/artofdarkpod, substack.com/@artofdarkpod. We are going to be putting more core episodes behind the paywall. We love all our listeners. Thank you for supporting the pod. You sign up, you become a patron, you get all sorts of cool stuff. We talk about it all the time, so we won't belabor it. Enjoy this preview of Brad's core episode on the Marquis de Sade.
Go back to de Sade's father. The Comte Sade's father benefited from a close relationship to the Condes. He would become a captain of the dragoons in the prince's regiment. That is the prince's Louis Henry Bourbon. He's the head of the Regency Council and superintendent of the king's educations, one of the most important people in the kingdom. And since the Sade's father was sort of right next to him, this gave him access to almost anything that a man might want, right? But he also made him a sort of a diplomatic henchman for the Condes. So you think of like the Sade's father is important, but he's also sometimes apparently did some of the dirty work for the royalty.
I'd say you
And
don't hear that word much anymore, henchman. Yeah.
You got to get a good henchman if you're going to get,
They're out there. If
That's
you, if
another resume item for the Heir to Darkness
100%,
intern.
I was just going to say, if you are a nurse with a master's of library science who's prepared to be a hench person
I would
and
say 1 year of henching experience.
one year of henching and you're prepared to transfer digital media to cassette tapes. Boy, do we have a job for you.
There's one person out there who could do
We're gonna find him.
it. At 25, Sade's father was a full-on libertine, and what got him aroused was he liked women of high status. His whole thing was like, can I get this woman of high status and sort of like bring her down to my level, right? That was what got him worked up. He also apparently slept with a number of male prostitutes and young men of inferior rank. If it was women, he needed them to be like of high rank. Men, he did not care. He was also something of a writer, though, he seems to only have done this for amusement. It was undignified for a member of the nobility pre-revolution to be an artist of any in any sense. You weren't supposed to. You could dally and you could write a poem for your friends, or you could write a bawdy little song, and that's fine. But like to actually be an artist, that was very much déclassé.
You, well, it's like a sort of your work for hire. A different attitude toward it. Nobody was going, oh God, I'm spilling over with passion to paint this. I mean, some were, but it's yeah. It's like you've got a better things to do.
Yeah, you
I mean, and
don't.
again, how much has changed? How much status really is there now to being an artist unless you're one of the pets, right? Yeah,
Yeah,
and
that's true.
it's always a pet, isn't it? We know exactly what I mean.
Now, in 1733, the Marquis de Sade's father ends up marrying the lady-in-waiting of the Princess Condé. He basically only married the lady-in-waiting because he wanted to continue his affair with the Princess Condé. So he marries the lady-in-waiting so he can basically live near the princess who he's having an affair with. Okay. But a lady-in-waiting...
That is some next-level pickup artist stuff.
It is, right? The lady in waiting is nobility, and by marrying her, the Marquis de Sade's father allied himself in the future with the house of Bourbon Condé, which is like the most important house in the ancient regime at this point. So this gets him jobs. He does these diplomatic missions to Russia and London, etc. And he's also supposed to be keeping an eye. He's also supposed to be keeping an eye on the Jacobites. And in order to do this, he joined a Masonic lodge. So there's like a little bit of like the Sade's father was like involved in like some 18th century espionage to a certain extent. Eventually, he purchases the post of lieutenant general of a regiment and kind of secures his fortune for a time. 1740, the Marquis de Sade is born. Our Marquis de Sade, June 2nd, 1740. There's often a kind of myth about Marquis de Sade that he represents this sort of unique distillation of nobility, of the sort of noble line, that he's the black sheep. As far as I can tell, that's just not true. He's basically exactly like his father, and as far as I can tell, except maybe a little less. His father wouldn't mind actually like making some effort in order to like keep the family together or improve their wealth or improve their situation. The Marquis de Sade didn't care about any of that. He was pure hedonism. He was any degree of, and we'll see as we go on what I mean by this. The Marquis de Sade did not live in reality. He lived in Marquis de Sade land.
Yeah. You'd have to write 120 Days of Sodom. Brad, I made the mistake of Wikipedia-ing, searching the House of Condé, Princes of Condé. And I did that. And now I'm having that American moment where I'm like, oh, shit, these motherfuckers are still out there.
Right?
There you go. Yeah. Like, all their heads were chopped off. And guess what? They still have titles. They still have names. That was one of the biggest culture shock moments when I lived over in the UK briefly. Yeah. You know, over here, I've said this before on the pod, I'm going to say it again, but my weird Philistine, you know, redneck and a turtleneck ass, you know, it's like you sign up for a bank account. Over here, it's like Ms., Mr., Doctor.
Right.
Mrs.
Right.
Over there, it's like Lord, Baron.
Right. Right. It's also like,
sir, you're like, what the?
It's like, you guys are just making this shit up, aren't you? Like,
this is just... Right. Exactly. You can't take this seriously, can you? And the guy's like, I am the king of Spain.
Right. Right. Exactly.
You kind of want to, you know, you just wonder if they're a good hang. I mean, what?
I mean, they might be. It's not personal about the individuals. It's just as Americans, the whole thing seems ridiculous to us.
Sure. Yeah. Hashtag not all nobility.
Right. Yeah. So Marquis de Sade isn't really raised by his parents. He's sort of all over the place. But here's one guy who raised him for a little while. Quote, indeed, the Comte de Charolais was reputed to be one of the most truly sadistic men of his time, though that word did not exist at the time. Never had anyone taken such pleasure in crime. He killed his fellow human beings for sport as other men went hunting. One day he shot a man in the town of Annet to prove his skill with a gun. His favorite amusement was to fire a musket at workmen repairing nearby roofs. When he hit one, he jumped for joy. To avoid prosecution, he then went to the king and begged forgiveness. One day, tired of his petitions, Louis XV is supposed to have answered, quote, Monsieur, the pardon you ask of me is due your rank and quality as Prince of the Blood, but I shall be even more pleased to pardon the man who does the same to you. Charolais had a son by a woman named Delisle, a prostitute who was a favorite of the Condé's. When the child fell ill sometime between its sixth and eighth month, Charolais caused him to swallow a glassful of spirits that killed him instantly. Quote, that child certainly was not mine, the prince exclaimed, if that drink made him die. Matthew Murray, I'm not sure who that is, tells another story about the Count's insane behavior. In a fit of jealousy, he went looking for Delisle one day in a cafe below her apartment between the Rue de Richelieu and the Palace Royal. He had the establishment surrounded by the watch and bludgeoned the unfortunate patrons. Afterward, while returning, he spotted the woman he was after, seized her, slapped her twice, and kicked her in the behind, ordered her up to her room, removed her clothes, rained blows on her servants, ordered supper to be served, and ended by spending the night with her. So he's got his dad, who's a notorious libertine, his uncle, who's also a notorious libertine, then he's raised by this insane, the psychopath, who's also a prince, right?
Sure. When somebody rains blows on you, that is that's heavy, and it always makes me think of Festivus.
Yes,
as I was raining blows upon him, like something to that effect. It's such a funny phrase.
It is.
It's really evocative.
Yeah. Now, so we're going to also see another place where Saad might have learned some libertinage. But here, let's read from a, this is a letter that this Marquis de Sade wrote. I'm pulling it from the book How to Read Sade by John Phillips. Quote, "Yes, I'm a libertine. And this is the Marquis de Sade's voice. "Yes, I am a libertine. That I admit. I have conceived everything that can be conceived in that area, but I have certainly not practiced everything I have conceived and never shall. I am a libertine, but I am neither a criminal nor a murderer. And since I am obliged to place my apology next to my justification, I don't know.